Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Networking is having hope with a purpose. And the purpose is to do good homework, is to ask good questions first, and then is to be specific as possible about who it is you need to meet as you're traveling through business.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. Now, if you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with John Howe, author of The Foolish Corner, and with Mark Schaefer, author of Marketing Rebellion, then do check them out, but only after you've listened to today's conversation. That's first, because I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Rob Thomas, the founder and president of Rob Thomas USA, and the creator of the Rob Thomas Method of Networking, as well as another business, Networking in Diners. Rob is an entrepreneur. He's the author of Who Do You Need to Meet? And is a dynamic public speaker. He works with business professionals to help them develop their networking skills to help them achieve business and personal success. In our discussion today, Rob talked to me about how to identify the right people to meet. We talked about converting connections into meaningful conversations, and we talked about preparation for those conversations and asking good questions, one of my favourite topics. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Rob Thomas. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited today to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast from Milford, Connecticut in the USA, Rob Thomas, who's a professional networker, a business development consultant, a speaker, an author, and founder of Networking in Diners. So welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Rob. It's a real privilege to have you as our guest.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mark Helpert, who was our guest on episode 258 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, introduced us and suggested that we have a conversation with you. So big hello to Mark.
Yeah, no, thank you, Mark. Appreciate that very much. He's a good man.
He is, yeah, and he's introduced us to quite a few of our guests recently, so that's very much appreciated. Now, you're also the creator of the Rob Thomas Method of Networking, which I'm fascinated to learn a little bit more about, and you write about that in your book, Who Do You Need to Meet?, which is a fascinating read that essentially goes through that method and also the why of networking. So I'm really looking forward to explore that a little bit more with you today. So how did you get to this point of running a networking business?
Well, so I've been in sales for about 20 years, sold everything but copiers and payroll systems. And it wasn't until I really worked for the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce back many moons ago where I got the passion for it. I literally was a business development executive and I was paid to network. It was my job. So to sign new members, take care of existing ones and large sponsorships. That was my job. And so that's really kind of where I developed the title too, Who Do You Need to Meet? Because I would ask prospects or new members about that. And I would say after they've given me their application and check, who did they need to meet? And they really wouldn't be able to tell me. So that started off the journey on trying to figure out and identifying who it was that they were going to have as part of their, you know, repertoire and who do they need to meet. But so from that, then I wanted to figure out how to do it myself. So I engaged a dear friend of mine who is my business coach now, Paul Lavoie, and he helped me craft my entrepreneurship in terms of having a successful teaching of the Rob Thomas method, creating networking in diners, business to business referral group, as well as then start to finish creating my book that really is kind of a download of all the different things I've learned over the last 20 years throughout sales and business networking.
Fascinating. So you kind of got into the networking through the Chamber of Commerce. And that's an interesting point you make there in terms of people joining the Chamber of Commerce and they're not quite sure who they actually want to meet through that. So why? Because I've had very much the same experience. People come along to the Chamber of Commerce and they're not clear about who they want to meet and who they want to talk to. And of course, if everybody's like that, then the whole events that are run by the Chamber tend to be a bit without a rudder, if to use right. a nautical term, right? Why do you think that is?
They're joining it like most people so that they can expand their business network and just go find business. If you contribute or dictate to the rule that you have to go where the fish are, you have to go fish in that pond and find those fish. So they join that to be able to gain business. The challenge is when they join it, they don't know what they're going to do after they join it. At least here, anyway, in Connecticut, it can be a challenge to have an executive help a new member, lead them along. We have things called ambassadors and stuff. I don't know if a lot of different large chambers throughout either USA or the world have that capability, but that is a challenge. And they get involved and they just figure immediately the spigot will open and they will get new business. And sometimes that may occur. But more often than times than not, it does not. So they need to really get specific about how they're going to increase their sales and increase their business. So we dive right into that, or I did anyway.
Yeah, getting specific is really important, isn't it? And with networking in diners, so what's the core principle behind that, other than, you know, the networking and who do you need to meet concept? So tell us a little bit more about networking in diners.
Yeah, no, thank you. So when in my past sales positions, you would always send me to go and kind of figure it out. I was the first guy you send, kind of like a sales marine, so to speak, to figure out if there was any there and to ask the good questions. If you take the 70s and 80s sales mentality about you always want to get the appointment in the decision maker's office, that may or may not have been true then. Unfortunately, I've found that they're just way too distracted in their office, be it either with assistants, fishbowl conference rooms, cell phones, tablets, just too many distractions. So my goal has always been to get that person out of their office. Well, I can take you to all the fancy restaurants I want, but that's going to get a little expensive fast. And anyway, up here in the Northeast of the USA, diners are fairly prevalent coming out of New York and Long Island and the such. And they're just great, nice, homey ways to sit down in a nice booth, have a bottomless cup of coffee, and have a conversation. Plus, you'll be able to learn some things about them and or their business because they can let their hair down and they're not in their office where the prying eyes and whispers are always happening. So I gravitated to diners. And so I just love the whole kind of feel of them and didn't want to spend, you know, $4 or $5 a cup of coffee anymore each time. And so then we needed to create another component of my business because, you know, teaching people how to network is one thing. And I am a coach and counselor for that. but that is a retainer-based, fee-based business, and not every person either has the wherewithal for that or understands it. So I had to make it a little more snackable and biteable for people to understand. So for a monthly fee, people can participate in that group, and we use tried and true methods that have been on all sorts of different networking groups all across the world.
Okay. So the group then, is the group kind of designed for everybody to network with one another in that group, or is the core principle the one-on-one networking in the diner, as you put it?
Yeah, no. So it is it's a small group type of basis. So these are business to business individuals. There are plenty of other networking groups around the world. One comes to mind, which is phenomenal, but it tends to be, in my opinion, slighted a little bit more towards business to consumer or business to retail. And I'm more about the business to business focus. And diners around here, anyway, have some back event rooms that we use. So our meetings aren't that large. They're maybe 10 to 12 professionals, but they're all there to focus. And we have three different types of meetings that they can attend. One is a structured meeting where it gets into a talk, presentation, and a business challenge. The second is an educational meeting, which I call food for thought. And then the third meeting is a casual conversation or a happy hour. And so we'll meet at a restaurant or a bar. When we were doing that, of course, since March 16th, I've been doing all these virtually.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask, as you were outlining the different types of meetings you have, how has business changed as a result of the current situation?
Yeah, I needed to pivot immediately that afternoon. I think it was Friday the 16th. I knew I needed to pivot immediately. I did a small little video people can see on my Instagram saying that we were going to go virtual. And so then I was conducting meetings via Zoom and doing virtual meetings. Had to do it. I wasn't going to stop. Wasn't going to bury my head in the sand. Had to keep moving forward. I guess for good news, bad news, it's kind of a little twisted to say this. This pandemic has actually been very good for my type of business. I was just on a major talk before joining you this afternoon to a pharmaceutical firm, teaching 275 colleagues there about my system, my method, about how to network.
Mm.
All virtual.
Yeah. So you clearly were comfortable in doing the virtual presentations and meetings, and you pivoted very quickly. How did the members of the networks that you run, how did they embrace it? Were they kind of quickly on board, or was it a mixture?
It was a mixture. I would say a majority of them were on board. They needed to be led, which is the easiest way to do it. Some a lot easier than others, but there were a good couple of people even still today of the network who I've had individual meetings with, of course, that have had their heads buried in the sand. They just figure that this will go away. And it's just really kind of sad to watch. It's very sad. So I've tried my best to counsel, but we can't make people like us, buy from us, or do stuff for us or from us. So I've just been trying to encourage them. But it's a great question, because I thought it was going to be a no-brainer and people would just come right along. And it was a little more difficult than I had thought. People were scared.
Well, that's right. And also, I think a lot of people, we take it for granted that work a lot in the online space, that it's easy to do. So if you can't meet with somebody in person, you just jump online. It's sort of like what we consider the phone call, if you can't see a person in person, you just pick up the phone and give them a call. You don't give it a second thought. So for us, going online on a Zoom meeting or something like that is almost the same. And yet some people see it as this is a big change.
And that's exactly right. And, I've talked to a bunch of people for over the last 4 months anyway. And, you know, Rob Thomas has just gotten to the party. A lot of people have been doing this way before I got here. I was forced into it, and it's been a good force. And the idea was that people were really going to have to come on along. And I needed to make it simple for people to do that. So be it either I immediately got on Zoom, I've arrived. And so I had to change my emailing format, which was fine, give them RSVP capability, and then make sure I send them an Outlook calendar email with the Zoom link and the password. You know, as my coach Paul says, I need to make it easy for people to buy, you know? And so although they've bought, I need to make it easy for them. But it's been interesting. I will say it's been interesting. Yeah. So,
what opportunities do you see coming out of, like, everybody's being forced to essentially shift their business to online as much as they can? So what opportunities do you think that brings when we get back to some semblance of post-COVID normal, and people have now learnt that there's things that you can do online?
Well, what's interesting, and again, I mentioned it, you know, people were conducting this party way before I got here. And when I started it anyway, I immediately saw that my quantity of different meetings was going up. I laugh when people jump on a Zoom call and don't use video, because I just, you know, then why not just place a phone call? I immediately try to do the Zoom with the video, and then I conduct the meeting exactly the way I would have conducted it anyway if I were sitting across the table with them at a diner. So I think the opportunities are to be able to actually conduct more meetings. They may not be hour long. I think a half an hour is too short. I've tried that a couple of times, and in my business, that's a little short. An hour seems to be cutting it, but I can fit a lot more in, and I don't have to drive all over the place. And it's a little lighter on my wallet, quite frankly. If yeah. up here, I'm, you know, if I'm dropping $20, $30, $40 on a big diner lunch, which isn't unheard of, I can just reinvest that into either the Zoom fee or, you know, my follow-up mechanisms and process that I have in place.
Yeah, well, so I think one of the big ones there is the time you save because you're not commuting.
Right.
Yeah, and also the ability, and I guess, you know, you talked earlier about Connecticut and the diners in Connecticut, so I'm guessing that your business was fairly localized, and now you have the opportunity to actually expand that geographically because you're no longer limited by having to actually meet in person with the people.
And that's exactly right. So on June 1st, I launched a virtual chapter or group version of Networking in Diners. And I had a 60% join rate from that because people can just, you know, effectively walk upstairs or roll out of bed if it's an early morning meeting and participate. And my attendance actually went up in all my different meetings separately. So it's been easier accessible for those that will embrace it. And again, I talk about some members just have not gotten there yet. And it's a struggle for them. They're stubborn. But I've seen a great opportunity with it. And I've arrived at the party.
Yeah. All right. Oh, great. Welcome to the party.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit more about the RTM method, the Networking in Diner, Rob Thomas method, I guess it is.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, I was working in a marketing firm before I started all this stuff. And the principal of the marketing firm, I would help because he had belonged to a nonprofit board. And the idea was that he wanted to figure out how to leverage, not infiltrate, but really leverage, convert those different board connections that he had obtained into meaningful conversations. And so I was talking to him about doing that, and I was developing the method, and he coined it. he called it the Rob Thomas method, and it stuck. And it really, it's very straightforward. There are very few drastic, huge ideas out there. What I've done is simplify it and compartmentalize it in a four-legged stool, so to speak. So really it gets to identifying a network, maximizing it, refining it, and then nurturing it. These are not, you know, foreign things to people, mostly salespeople, but I needed to break it down. And these are the ways that I've done it to keep it simple for myself, because sales or business connections, you can just go off in a shotgun approach. It can be really quite deadly if you don't get a handle on it.
Mm. Yeah, well, I like what you said there about converting connections into meaningful conversations, because I think there's a little bit of a key to that. I mean, my next question is, how do you identify the right people to connect with? And you've said, you know, the shotgun approach can be deadly, because essentially if you're just targeting people willy-nilly, they're not likely to lead, or most of them are not likely to lead to meaningful conversations in some form. So how do you go about identifying the right people?
So be it either through using LinkedIn as a guide or using past successes. So again, when I was back at the chamber and I would ask my clients who they needed to meet and they could not tell me, I would say, well, tell me about your last 10 invoices. Tell me about your last 10 successes where people paid you money for what it is, the skill set you brought them. And that cleared up the air a little bit.
Mm.
So I've got to use the same advice on myself and figure out who to identify. Always constantly trying to network myself up to find those newer and larger connections at the same time, but using the process of who have I been successful with engaging in the past, and developing my network. And, you know, the bonus comes out of having a successful conversation with a new contact. And they say, let me introduce you to so-and-so. You know, that I don't even rely on. Because the goal is to meet all the 250 people that are standing behind you. But the problem is I get overwhelmed because I have to meet all those 250 people, and that's just not the case. If I break it down to real brass tacks, I can think about, I just need to meet one. So it's effectively Jürgen plus one.
Hmm.
And so I need to just meet that one contact that you're willing to introduce me to. I'm not going to make you do that. But if we have a good conversation and the organic switch occurs, you're going to immediately say, you know, do you know Mark Halpert? You know, I think I'd like to introduce you to Mark Halpert. I think he'd be really good for your network. That's almost like a bonus, you know, and that's kind of where the method really works in terms of identifying folks and people. But I also have a rating scale that I use.
Okay. That's fascinating. There's a couple of things I'd like to explore with that, I guess, and it, getting to that point of, you know, if we have a conversation and you say, hey, Jürgen, I think you should meet Mark. He needs your help, or he, you know, he could add to your network, or he could help you out with something you're looking to do. How do you structure the conversation when you first meet someone to enable you to get to that level of understanding, and you know, you're actually making an introduction that then again leads to another meaningful conversation or more?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I teach my clients to structure the meeting in two different formats. One is to do some research, credibility research. Now, this doesn't take forever. This is all in the course of 5-10 minutes before you sit and meet with them. The first is to go to their LinkedIn profile and identify three different things on that profile that strikes you as interesting. I didn't know Rob went to Ithaca College. I didn't know Rob played the clarinet in high school. You know, I didn't know Rob worked at Walt Disney World. You know, these are all things on my LinkedIn profile that are kind of, huh. So you write those down. That's kind of the building rapport conversation starter.
Mm.
People like that because they identify that you've done your research. Your credibility quotient goes way up because you've actually invested a little bit of time into trying to understand who is sitting across the table from you. The second component is using an acronym that I'm sure I stole from some successful sales guy eons ago, but I use an acronym called FORM. And so we form individuals when we meet with them. So it stands for family, occupation, recreation, money, or message, or who do they need to meet? So through that questioning type of process, or really a guide that I've instructed people to write down in a simple networking notebook, it guides the conversation so I know more about you. The goal being that when I get into these kinds of different questions, you're going to organically inside be like, oh, okay, thanks. I appreciate that, like about halfway through. But tell me about you. Tell me about where you grew up. Tell me about your occupation. Tell me more about you. So organically, they have switched. And that's a phrase that I use in my book and that I use in my teachings about organically. Now they have switched to asking you about you. Because I had to be taught that it wasn't about me. And I was always showing up and throwing up. And people would always run the other way at some business after hours or meeting because they would see Rob coming. And it's true. And I would just, you know, here's my card. And, you know, I was that guy. And I had to be taught at a diner by a dear friend who didn't hold back and sat with me. And he said, what are you selling me today?
Yeah.
And I couldn't answer him. And it struck me and it was powerful. And that all reached into, okay, stop making it about you. You're not creating any good, meaningful relationships with doing all this. So you need to switch it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of gold in that. And do you think that networking events and things like Chamber of Commerce have got a bit of a bad rap because there's a lot of that happening? There's a lot of, you know, you turn up at one of these things and you get bombarded with people that impose their business cards on you and say, I do this, and they don't even take the time to find out whether you are remotely interested in what they have to sell or that you even have a need for that.
Yes.
Hmm.
They get a bad rap for all of that. They create that environment, but they have to. I mean, the idea of a chamber of commerce is literally to bring all forms of people that are in business together, everything from the single shingle solopreneur all the way up to the major powerhouse banks and utilities. So how do you cover the ground in between? The challenge I've always had is there can be so much more kind of teaching, especially with the onboarding of people when they belong to a chamber of commerce or even association. But most don't have the time for that. Most are not going to invest the time for that. That's where I kind of like lived and breathed.
Mm.
And I developed quite a loyalty quotient with that. Well, I'm not going to join unless I join with Rob. Well, Rob's taking care of me. It's fine. You know, other reps or other people will come up to me. And so then as I've developed this process, I've had to instruct people to be a lot more patient when they're asking for those different things or making that connection. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. I feel bad for chambers of commerce because they get that. However, I think that they can invest in a lot more mentorship and teaching, which they don't.
Hmm.
At least I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly, I mean, our local chamber is doing quite a lot in that area now, and things I've seen things improve quite dramatically over the last few years. But there still is a tendency for some people to turn up and do their sales pitch as soon as they meet you. You know, hi, I'm Jürgen, and then it's like, here's what I sell.
I wish, well, maybe I don't, because I was new and raw years back. But if I had met my friend's name is Brian. If I had met Brian earlier in my sales career, asking me what I was selling today, kind of thing. if that had occurred earlier, maybe this would have happened earlier. But you know what? It happens when it happens, and here we are, you know, and here we are. So it's nothing but good. But it's I'm glad to hear that your chamber's investing in that type of thing. Most are not. Most just don't do that because they will say, well, who's got the time for that?
Yeah.
And traditionally, employees or staff of chambers of commerce, at least I've found, I wouldn't say they're paid at the top of the scale. So they kind of let some of that stuff go.
Okay. Now, coming back to the meetings, the networking in diners. So you've had this meeting, we've had a conversation. First of all, what kind of outcome are you aiming for in the conversation?
So in the networking in diners, again, we've got the three different types of meetings they avail themselves of. The first one is a structured meeting where each member gets 4 minutes to present their stuff, tell us an ideal client and who they need to meet and power partners and things. And then we do a business challenge, just one at the end. So the idea is so that people can hear the opinions, the tactics, the strategies, and the skills that other members possess as they have gotten through that business challenge. It's not an advice-giving type of pool. It's about understanding how people have gotten through that experience. And that starts to develop for other people. You know what? I liked what Rob said over there, they think to themselves. I think I'll have a side conversation, or because I'm doing it in a diner, and the reason why diners give me aggressive pricing on that meeting is because they know that the business people are going to now have a separate meeting outside of what I just conducted. So now I'm continuing the commerce, really, outside of that meeting, even for them. It doesn't always happen that way, but the idea is to develop relationships in that way so that they can focus on who they need to meet.
Yeah,
I don't know if that answers your question clear enough or not.
Yeah, I'll follow up with another question in a moment. I think that's a really clever idea, bringing that business into the diner, and because it makes a lot of sense then for people, if they're coming to that meeting, that they would then schedule either before or after the meeting their individual meetings at the same location, because that saves time, saves them commuting to another spot, and so the diner actually benefits from it as well.
Yeah, and I have specifically chosen it to be a business to business type of structure where they say, I need to meet the controller of this manufacturing company. I need to meet the vice president of marketing at this agency. I need, you know, they're very specific and they know that they need to meet certain individuals of certain companies, be it either local. For the virtual networking and diners, that's hopefully going to travel up and down the Eastern Seaboard here in America. I need to meet the so-and-so of, you know, Raymond James Financial in St. Petersburg, Florida. Oh, and just because you're in Connecticut, you know, when we get to travel and that type of thing, I need to meet so-and-so of this agency in New York City. Oh, well, I happen to know his cousin's brother's sister, kind of thing. So that's kind of how I'm carrying it. And people, again, it's snackable enough where they pay a monthly fee and they can understand it. But it isn't for the business consumer, business to consumer, or business to retail. Because I find those professions, all of which, by the way, are making gobs of money. I understand that. But, you know, a real estate agent selling a house saying that I need to meet anybody looking to buy or sell a house, that just, the three people we don't know are anybody, everybody, and somebody.
Yeah.
So that's just not going to prove helpful. And that's why I've structured it that way. Do I have hundreds of members? Absolutely not. No. So I keep it small. I keep it vetted because it works and I want people invested.
Hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lesson in keeping it small and keeping it focused. And I like that, you know, you're very specific about it being B2B, because as you say, the more specific you are about asking who it is you want to meet and have that meaningful conversation with, the more likely it is that somebody's going to say something like, oh, I know that person's wife, or I'm friends with their neighbor, or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you never know.
Hmm.
You never know.
All right. Now, with the one-on-one meetings that you have in diners, well, like, I guess this is the core of where it started. What I'm curious about, you know, you talked earlier about how to structure that conversation. What I'm curious about is the follow-up. So the outcome of that conversation might be, well, what might the outcome of those conversations be? And then what's the follow-up process that you have?
Well, yeah. So what's interesting is, and I, you know, I have this question all the time when I speak at talks, is what if the organic switch doesn't occur in the middle of the meeting? What if the other contact doesn't ask you about you and all they do is talk for 45 minutes to an hour about themselves? What's the idea there? That's the negative side. And the positive side is I've asked who you need to meet and vice versa of me, hopefully an introduction process if we know those people or we know like-minded people. So I need to meet the managing partner of Bloom Shapiro Accounting Agency in Shelton, Connecticut. Well, I don't know them, but I happen to know the accountant of this other accounting firm, you know, that kind of thing. So when you're specific, it generates the idea for the other person about, oh, that's who you need. Oh, well, I happen to know so-and-so. They're not at the same firm. They're over there. Okay. So when the positive happens and the switch occurs, they bubble up the scale of the rating scale that I have, but also hopefully a handwritten thank you note, or I happen to use a company called Send Out Cards, which you can do a heartfelt card and, you know, you can craft it a certain way and even send a little kind of gift of brownies or caramels or something like that, so that you're differentiating yourself to them as a little different and a little more memorable. The idea is to always think about yourself trying to be just a little bit more memorable than the next person that's standing behind you. And that tends to be a challenge because people don't know either what resonates or what to do. And so this is what I do to try to stay with that. If the contact, the conversation doesn't really go anywhere, the person talks your ear off, you have a decision to make on whether or not you're going to keep them in your network or not. Are they going to stay in LinkedIn or are you going to swipe them out? People always get really nervous when I talk about this because they're like, you can't swipe them out of LinkedIn. How could you do that? Well, you're not killing the person. You just send them to a different social medium because there wasn't a business connection there. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. How do you do that? Well, you know, there are a lot of frogs out there. You're going to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your king or queen here. And I needed to learn all of that.
Mm.
And so now I teach it because I learned it.
Yeah, great, great advice. All right. Well, there's a lot there to really dig into some more, but I'm aware of the time here now, and I'd certainly encourage people to check out your website and check out your book, which we'll share some links to later on. But I think it's a good time to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed primarily to help, well, it's designed for our listener, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, to learn from your experience. So I've got 5 questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful tips today to inspire the listener to go and do something awesome as a result. Are you ready?
I will try my best. I'm ready.
What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Not make it about them. Make it about the other person. Do your research and ask good questions of them first.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. And I think, you know, it sort of you've given us examples of how to do that in the networking conversations that you mentioned earlier. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Learn from others. So either like yourself or my mentors, who are Dr. Ivan Meisner, Keith Ferrazzi, and Jeffrey Gittimer. They are my mentors or idols out there in the world of a combination of relationship building, networking, and sales. And I look to their different types of things and ideas. I learn locally as well, but those are the big powerhouses that have come before me. So to learn from them and or like yourself.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. And it's interesting you mentioned Ivan Meisner, because one of the thoughts I had as I was reading your book, or actually I listened to it in audio form, that it's kind of in some ways modeled on BNI, which is what Ivan Meisner founded, the Networking International Organization. But there's some key differences too.
Yes, no, I recently, I shook his hand and met him last fall and complimented him on all of his work and how I follow his stuff. Gave him a signed copy of my book and vice versa, and talked to him about, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery as long as we do it legally. And I just carrying the message. He started BNI, phenomenal organization, back 1987 out of his thesis accomplishment from college. And mine is structured a little more simply, not as much. And mine is also not a franchise either. But a phenomenal organization, extremely successful.
Hmm. Okay. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
I contribute to or watch a email that comes across from Entrepreneur magazine, and I get an Entrepreneur Daily and an Entrepreneur Weekly. And those are individual emails that come across my span that I read quickly to try to figure something out. But truth be told, I also watch a lot of CNBC so that I can keep my my pulse on the economics of the world.
Mm. Yeah, that's good advice. You can get lots of information and things to talk about in those kind of news areas, right? And the Entrepreneur magazine. Little tidbits in that, yeah.
Someone introduced me to that as well, so I'm just I'm continuing.
Sharing the
mentorship. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what's the best way to keep a client on track?
To always keep them focused and keep them on track is to take good notes, at least for myself, and then identify successes that happened previous. And then identify successes at the end, and have them make the things that we need them to do actionable task. So I can't ask a client to do something I haven't already done. And I explain to that client about how I've done it and to try it, to keep good notes during the meeting and follow up with them about what it is they need to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I find keeping notes really helpful because relying on your memory is very dangerous.
Mm, very dangerous. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And things get forgotten, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you say, okay, I'll get you that introduction to so-and-so, and then...
Well, yeah, and so, you know, I make it... So part of networking in diners is who do they need to meet, and they will identify who that is, and I may know them. But I say in the meeting, if you would like an introduction to that person, you must send me a separate email in regards to that, so I can keep track of it and note-taking, but also, you know, you need to reach back out to me. I've made the offer. Now come back to me. Maybe two out of 10. We'll do it.
Hmm.
2 out of 10. And it's interesting. It's really frightening slash interesting because they just don't, this is not complicated. And they just don't remember to do it. Hmm. And so I may offer that introduction, but you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't have to make it. Because
that is,
you know, I want them to come back to me and remember that they want it. You know, that you got to have some kind of need built in there as well. I'm not going to give you all the keys to my kingdom.
Hmm.
You have to ask me at the same time. You know, you have to have a little skin in the game, I think.
Hmm. Hmm. That is really curious. I wonder why that is.
They just forget. Yeah. They don't care. They just threw it out there. I have no idea.
Didn't take notes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Exactly. Now, you mentioned earlier something about differentiation. What do you think is the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Do credible research on your contact or on your business before meeting with a person. 9 times, if not 10 out of 10, we go into all these virtual or in-person meetings just winging it and not doing any kind of research on the person at all. It's just not complicated.
Hmm.
5 minutes, even LinkedIn or even any kind of Google search or what have you, of that person will establish your credibility quotient way up, way up. Because something, a common phrase I'll hear all the time, wow, you really did your homework. Yeah. Yeah, actually I did. And I think there's a lot of credibility that goes into that, and that people respect that. They sit up, they notice, they take a tune to what it is you're asking and saying. And I think that's very important. And I needed to learn it. I needed to learn it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, like I have to really give you a strong endorsement on that one, because it is sad that it's a differentiator. I get that quite a lot in my podcast when I have people on and they say, wow, you really did your homework. I say, I used to respond with, well, isn't that what you do? But then since I've been on more and more podcasts as a guest, I realized that podcast hosts don't necessarily do that. They do exactly what you mentioned earlier. They wing it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Now, some in the podcasting space, there is one method, and I know some people follow this. They say, you know, we want to really learn about the person as our listener would learn about them. In other words, the listener, when they tune into an episode, they haven't done research on the person who's the guest. And so they have different questions to somebody who may have done quite a bit of research about the guest. So they take a different approach. I guess my approach is more like, I'm fascinated by this person. I want to learn from this person. So I can learn a lot by doing some homework. I don't need to have the conversation with that person to learn all the things that I can find out in the homework. What I want to do is go beyond that and learn more about them that I can't learn in the online space that's easily accessible. And I figure that with networking, that's probably the same principle.
Well, I needed to learn it too. Start off a lot of my talks, I used to be like you. You know, I used to be, you know, take the card or just show up and throw up, and because they don't teach this stuff in sales school or in school. They don't teach it in college. They just don't teach it. And so if you're going to a sales school, you know, networking was half an hour out of the whole 40-hour program that you took for the week. And that just, it should be reversed.
Hmm.
So people don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least that brings up an opportunity for businesses like yours. Yeah.
That would be true, sir.
Well, thanks for this, Rob. This has been really fascinating and I've really enjoyed this. Now, where can people find out more about you and find out about the book, Who Do You Need to Meet, and perhaps even reach out and say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, fantastic. So I put it all together on my website, which is robthomasusa.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. And we'll post a link to that in the show notes as well. Now, do you have some parting advice that you'd like to leave the listener with today?
The idea is that networking is having hope with a purpose. And the purpose is to do good homework, is to ask good questions first, and then is to be specific as possible about who it is you need to meet as you're traveling through business.
Hmm. Wonderful. I love it. So three key points there around networking. Okay, finally then, Rob, who would you like me to meet on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Who would I like you to meet on a future podcast?
Yes, or bring onto the show.
I would like you to meet my dear friend and coach, Paul Lavoie.
Fascinating. Yeah, you.
Lavoie. He is not only my coach, but he's also a general manager of a successful manufacturing firm here in Connecticut, and recently the new Chamber of Commerce board chair for a chamber that's up here. And I think he would be a fantastic addition to your show.
Great. Well, we'll ask for that introduction. I'll send you an email on that one.
There you go. Sure.
And, yeah. And invite Paul to be on the show and have a conversation with him about
the Chamber
of Commerce and
that's right.
More probably, because I suspect as a general manager of manufacturing, there's lots of stuff that he does that's really fascinating and interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously on the InnovaBuzz podcast today, Rob. I've really enjoyed this. So it's fascinating to learn about your approach to networking and how it's changed over the course of the last months, where we've been faced with this pandemic and lockdowns and challenges that all businesses have to face, and how you've dealt with it and how you've succeeded in pivoting your business to an online focus right now. So look forward to learn a lot more about how that progresses further, and thanks again for being on the show, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, no, this has been an honor and a pleasure, and I really appreciate your time as well. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and meaningful conversation with Rob and took something away from his episode. There were two really simple steps to boost your networking that Rob shared and that are easy to do. First, do a little homework on your meeting guest and start each conversation with questions around things you have in common. I'd love to know what you took away from Rob's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Rob Thomas. That is RobThomas, or lowercase, or one word, innovabiz.co/Rob Thomas. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Rob there, as well as links to the Networking in Diners website, to his social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Rob suggested that we have a conversation with his business coach and general manager of Carey Manufacturing, Paul Lavoie, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So, Paul, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Rob Thomas. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including the father of the lean methodology, Steve Blank, and the author of Be Brilliant, Janine Garner. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.